What's up, everybody, and welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. We have a new podcast that Will and I are going to be giving you guys. We're trying it out. Hopefully, we can get this every week for 52 weeks. We're going to do a little picks pod for the weekends. We may make some changes to the format at some point, but for now, we're going to do five picks. Willie boy, what's going on?
Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? Yeah, I'm excited for this part of the pod. See if I could have some better picks than you. It's going to be a fun time doing this with you.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see if we're good or if we suck. Typically, last couple of years, I've been over 500 with football. I've made a lot of money in college basketball and in obscure MLB bets with strikeouts and whatnot. This week, I'm looking at my board now, and I'm taking a couple chances. Like, I'm going to look like a fucking baller if I get some of these right, but I also may go 1-4 this week to start, which is really stupid, but I was just excited to get this thing going. So I may put myself behind the eight ball, but do you want to go pick for pick here or what?
Yeah, well, let's go pick for pick. And, you know, Tom, the best part about starting off 0-5, it can't get worse.
That's true. That's a really good point. I mean, I could, like, you know, lose all my money and shit. But yeah, I guess it couldn't go worse. You can only go up from there. All right, Will. Well, you're not a guest anymore, but, you know, I run the show, so you're the guest.
Oh, yep. Yep.
So you can lead off.
So I'm going to lead off with tonight's game in one of my favorite conferences, the Mountain West. San Diego State is going to cover 7.5 points coming off a bad loss.
I stared at that game too, bro. I think this one, I honestly looked at the alternate spread at like 9.5 or 10. I think they're going to blow them out.
I think they're going to blow them out too.
I like that pick. That's a great way to start. All right, first pick for me. This is tonight at 7 p.m. as well. Pelicans, Sixers, C.J. McCollum. Over 7.5 rebounds and assists. He seems to hit this at least once every couple of games. It's -138 on FanDuel, a little straight up bet to get you guys started on a Friday night. It's tougher to pull some of the professional sports odds, especially the NBA, because people don't tell anybody that they're not playing until the night before. But we're going to do the best we can
Yeah, I did all college basketball, just the big games for Saturday.
I like that.
That's what FanDuel had the spreads up for, so I just went with that. But if you're into prop bets, sounds like a good prop bet right there for Tommy. I'll have to check into some prop bets when the tournament comes around for college basketball.
You can bet on whatever you want, bro. This is just a picks pod. As long as it's making money, nobody cares. You can bet on fucking Russian ping pong at 2 a.m. If that's one of your picks and you think it's a lock, I love it.
Oh, perfect. Gotta get deep in the app.
Yep, exactly.
So with my second bet, I did a little homer pick here, and I had the Kansas +9.5 at Houston. I think Kansas will keep it a 5-point game, mostly the whole game, and it may get up to like 8 with the Fallon game. I don't think Kansas wins, but I think they keep it under 9.
You staring at the under on that one? Might be a defensive battle. Is your boy, what's his face, back? The best player on your
Kevin
team?
Kevin Collar's back, yeah. Kevin Collar's back. Yeah, he's back. Yes, and definitely the under is definitely a thing I would bet on as well, because these are two best defensive teams in the Big 12.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought there, just from listening to you and Sean, getting myself educated on college basketball. My number four bet, my next bet, I have Scottie Scheffler with a top 10 finish at the Arnold Palmer. You're going to have to live bet that. That was the live odds as of last night when I put this in on FanDuel. So Scottie Scheffler with a top 10. That one feels pretty good. If the putter's hot,
right,
bet
now
him to win. But if not, just bet him the top 10.
Where's he sitting right now?
Let me check the leaderboard and see if this bet's already dead. He was in like the teens when I checked last night. Let's see. Arnold Palmer.
He's always in the top 10 of every big tournament.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like the odds are way too low. He's 17th.
Minus odds too. It's probably minus odds to get to the top 10 for him.
Oh yeah, it was only -140 though, which is still kind of low, honestly. You're almost making it's almost a straight up bet. Scheffler is -3 for the tournament, -1 for the round through six holes. He's tied for 17th. So I don't worry about Scotty. He's, you know, if that's where he sits, the pack will come back to him, and he'll be right in there where you need him.
Yeah, that's a good bet. And then here's my first upset bet pick alert. And Shawnee will love this one because we both hate Creighton. I'm taking Villanova to take Villanova money line at home against Creighton.
Damn. Okay. What are they, at plus odds or is it minus odds?
They're plus odds, but it's only a 1.5-point spread, which is weird. So why not just take the money line? They have to be plus 120 is my guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. I like that pick. And what's the hate with Creighton between you two?
It's not a consistent team, and it bothers us when teams aren't consistent.
Mm.
That's what it is.
I understand that, because one night they come out and they could beat UConn, and then the next night they could come out and lose to 30 from Providence. So okay. I get it. All right, my next pick, this one is kind of the one that I alluded to where it could just absolutely tank me just because I'm betting on only one result. The variables are, you know, that's why the odds are so high. I'm betting Will Zalatoris to win the AP Classic at plus 2,000 on FanDuel. Win only bet, folks. Win or nothing.
I mean, that's risky. That's really risky.
Yeah, he was floating around pretty good yesterday. I'm going further and further down the leaderboard now. That's never a good sign unless I missed him. Let me just Google his name, because that usually is easier than Googling the entire fucking leaderboard and having to read it.
He's in second. He's tied for second.
Oh, fuck yeah. I just skipped over his name. Hell yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
He's 3-under today.
Yeah, the odds are probably a little bit lower, but I would definitely go ahead and grab that. I think he's going to go on a bit of a heater, and I think he's going to make some noise at the Masters, too. I mean, he always makes noise in the majors, but I think he might get this one.
It all depends on how he putts.
Absolutely. That's his MO, right? All right, give me another bet out of you. I think you got two left, right?
Yeah, I got two left. For this one, we're going to the SEC in a big-time matchup. Tennessee just clinched the SEC regular season title, but they are at home against Kentucky, who needs a statement win. Kentucky's defense has not looked good. Kentucky is plus 8.5 at Tennessee. I think they cover that, and I think it's like a 4 or 5-point game.
Okay. I'm going to give you my...
Also, maybe the over as well.
Ooh, well, yeah. I mean, you like you always say with Kentucky. What's the over, though?
Oh, the over's not out yet, so I'm going to guess it's probably close to 160, which is crazy.
Give me a number. I'm actually more interested in seeing how close you get to what Vegas puts it than actually betting it.
I'm going to go with 156.5.
Okay. We'll have to keep an eye out for that. That game's tomorrow?
Saturday, yeah, tomorrow.
Okay. My next pick, I got a college basketball one here for you. When I bet on college basketball, I do a little more obscure bets. I don't bet the main board. This is Friday at 6 p.m., so everybody, I'm going to tweet this out as well. Get your Twitter fingers and get your FanDuel fingers ready to go. I like to bet. I think that Vegas doesn't pay much attention to the mid-majors. I like to look at trends. I also like to look at stats. UNC Asheville is having a hell of a season, and Charleston Southern is absolutely terrible. I like to bet the alternate spreads, but this game is so obscure they don't even have one. So I'm going to go with UNC Asheville minus 11.5. I think they're going to run it up to 15.
I like that bet as well. And I think UNC Asheville is the best team in that conference as well. The thing with these obscure bets, which is awesome, and you see these numbers, these teams, these schools that you barely heard of unless you watch college basketball, the 16 seeds in the tournament. When you see like a spread that's like a 22.5 spread over a team you don't even know, just take it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to hit.
Last year, dude, I rode College of Charleston. Just
CFC,
heavy because they are having a great year and Vegas could not figure out their spreads against that conference, which I mean, you know, with these mid-major conferences, it's like top three teams are good enough to even make the tournament. And then the rest are just absolute garbage and are going to get blown the fuck out.
Yeah, that
so.
Was like, that's like me this year. That's I bet on Colgate in the
Colgate's always one of them. Colgate's every couple of years, they always get some good recruits. All right. Give me your final bet.
My last one is probably one of the more entertaining games in college basketball tomorrow. Me and Sean will be talking about it. Duke is favored by 4.5 points over UNC, and I'm shaking my head over here, and I'm thinking, why? UNC is the better team. I know it's at Cameron. I feel like all the money's going to go on UNC, hence why I'm taking Duke minus 4.5. I think they win by 6.
I love that. Sometimes you just got to fucking fade the public, right?
Yep, fade the public.
All right, my final bet, I mentioned on the last pod, it's a bit obscure. I got an F1 bet for you.
Ooh, F1 racing.
Yeah, I believe they're racing at some point this weekend. I don't know where, Saudi Arabia, something. Who the hell knows? Unfortunately, the odds got lowered because Carlos Sainz had to back out of the race. I think he had a bad oblique. I mean, if you're sitting in a car going 200 miles an hour, I'm pretty sure you want your back and your oblique to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Not that I know much. I don't even know if they go 200 miles an hour, but I know they go really fucking fast.
I mean, I only know one name in F1, and that's Max Verstappen.
Yeah, and, you know, I told my expert, I was like, do not even put Max in any of these bets you're recommending for me, because, like, that's basically like betting LeBron James to score 5 points in a basketball game, because he wins every race. So, and I mean, he wins some of these races. Like, he wins the pole, and then he just never loses the lead. Like, it's insane. So, you got to get rid of Carlos, whatever his name is, Sainz, because he's not racing. But I got George Russell to finish in the points, combined, parlayed with Red Bull overall winner. Originally, that bet on via Bet Rivers was plus 125. Unfortunately, we had to pull out Sainz. So, now on FanDuel, you're getting minus 379. That's just because Red Bull's so dominant that they knocked down the stats. But he said, I should be sitting in a good spot because Red Bull won the pole, meaning Verstappen, and apparently there are other guys pretty good too. So,
sounds like a good bet. I know nothing about F1 racing, but if you got the inside source, it might be worth throwing some money on.
Yeah, listen, we're going to see. I wanted to get something obscure out there. I had a good feeling you were going to go all college basketball, so I kind of wanted to mix up the board a little bit. That's my job in this picks pod thing, is you're going to make your smart bets on what you know, and then sometimes I'm going to go a little out there, and we're going to see how it works out.
Yeah, I mean, that works. Some people want to take the big risk. Some people want to play it safe. That's how it is.
Exactly. And if you guys want to parlay all these together, if you're out of your mind, then that's awesome too. Maybe one of these days we'll just hit a fucking mega one. Maybe one of these days we'll have the same bet, and then we'll just have to call it a party bet, and then we both have to take it.
Absolutely.
And Sean has to figure out a way to take it as well.
I'm just going to create Sean an account in Connecticut.
All right, listen. I mean, I don't know if he'll give you any money for it, but that's a really nice move of you.
I mean,
I'll get you,
Sean.
I'll get you his social account. I mean, his social security number.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's all we need.
Yeah, I got it written down somewhere. But next week when we come back, we will be recapping these picks, obviously. So, Will, you're going to have to keep track of them. We're going to keep track of them throughout the year, check our winning percentages, all that good shit. I'm going to have it all in a Google Sheet, so all the math will be done for us. And then, obviously, we'll be making picks every week. So, you got anything else, Willie boy?
No, I'm just excited to see how we do with this betting and see how actually good I am at betting, or am I really bad? So
I'm more looking forward to coming on here when we get a real true bad beat and just bitching about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I bitch about it to Sean a little bit on our podcast, but unless you've had a bad beat before, you don't really know it. And, like, obviously you know my pain better than anybody I know, so I'm really excited to finally have somebody on the other end that just totally gets it, and we can just cry about it.
Absolutely, and it's going to be one of those things we talk about next week, where Kansas is, down 7 with 3 seconds left, and Houston just chucks up a 3 from half court and goes in, and Kansas loses, doesn't cover the spread.
Can't wait for it.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it, brother.
Me too. So coming up, you and Sean are going to talk even more college basketball, and we'll be talking to you guys again soon.
Yep, sounds good.
We're back in. Will, it's a Friday afternoon. Time to talk some college hoops. The last week of the regular season is just about done. We've only got 2 more days of games before the real fun starts, brother. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. And we have some mid-major conferences starting their conference tournaments now. Fun to watch. Those games are on at noon on TV. Nothing better.
That's great. I have such fond memories of high school and of college where any level of productivity in class was just done. And that was an archaic time too. Remember, like, we didn't have games across all networks yet. You had to try to find, like, you know, if the ESPN tab was staying completely up to date. We're spoiled now, dude.
Oh, we're definitely spoiled now. I remember in college you had the ESPN on your phone and only games were on CBS.
Oh, it really has come a long way, and makes us sound like such ancient old men. Tom would make fun of us so much.
He definitely would.
So fuck him. Let's start with the results from the week, dude, and we'll start on Monday, kind of go chronologically here. also through the conferences. And it started with number 9 Duke beating up on NC State. I asked you if there was any potential for an upset. You said no, and you were 100% right.
Yeah, Duke took care of business. And I look at Duke as a team that could be in the top, probably in the top 10 for winning the national championship. This team goes as McCain goes. You could have a Filipowski good game, but it's the guard play that's going to propel Duke.
And Roach obviously is important. Obviously, Proctor is important. But I agree with you. And they've been kind of steady this year, man. I mean, it's, you know, it's not a traditional Duke season when they're in the top 10 rankings, getting ready for the NCAA tournament. And the biggest Duke storylines are the fact that they secured 2 of the top 5 prospects for next year. So
yeah, it's crazy how nobody's really talking about them. You hear a lot about UConn, Tennessee, and Purdue, and teams like that, and you barely hear about Duke. You know,
it's weird. Do they remind you of Kansas a little bit this year?
They kind of do. The Kansas team was not talked about, and they ended up winning the national championship. They only started talking about them when they started the tournament. And yeah, it kind of reminds me of that team a lot. And they have the players that kind of remind me of that team, too. You have Filipowski, a big guy, kind of like McCormick for Kansas. You had the guards, Remy Martin with Roach. It's very comparable.
Thought so. That's kind of how my mind's gone this week so far, is where I'm like, man, we're gearing up for Duke UNC, both top 10 teams. There should be more buzz. But would I be surprised if Duke is playing in the Final Four? I would not.
Not at all.
Yeah, I mean, they got the pedigree, obviously. Baylor, they take care of Texas, 93-85. I thought Texas had this game, man. I think I texted you. I said, Texas is playing pretty well, but you unfortunately have to play 40 minutes, and Baylor's just better in 40 minutes of basketball than Texas is.
Yeah, I mean, we talked on the last pod that, you know, I thought Texas was going to keep this close. It was kind of a emotional letdown, per se, after beating Kansas. You had a big day out of Jalen Bridges, 32 points. Any night on that team, anybody can score 30. It's a very scary team going into the tournament. And I might put a little future on Baylor winning the national championship.
Now, I thought of this the other night. You said pretty definitively a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly which pod it was, but you said Texas isn't making it. I looked at Lenardi's list, and he has Texas in, I think, as a 10.
I mean, I think it also depends right now on what they do in the Big 12 tournament. You know, they don't get a bye, so they don't get a bye. I think they might get one bye. I don't know. I have to look at the Big 12 rankings. But they have to make somewhat noise. I could see them being in, but as a 10, you know, I think there's other teams that are more deserving than Texas.
I agree with you. And one thing that would stick in my craw is if Seton Hall didn't get in and Texas did.
Yeah, exactly.
That would piss me off a little bit. Number 3, Purdue survives. Number 12, Illinois, a clash of titans in the Big Ten. I say that a little bit kidding on the square. But Illinois hung with them, man, for the most part, but they just don't have an answer for Edie.
Yeah, a lot of teams don't. Edie had 28 points. I think even with the ranking, Illinois falls pretty heavily in the seeding. I wouldn't be surprised, even though they're 13, they're going to move down. I wouldn't be shocked to see them as a 5 because I don't think anybody trusts the Big Ten this year, as we talked about.
No, and they kind of needed a signature win. Maybe they get another chance in the Big Ten final or the Big Ten semifinal, depending on how that bracket goes, but I think this would have been a huge statement for them, and they just didn't get it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the Big Ten tournaments, you know, we talk a lot of trash about the Big Ten, how we don't trust any of those. I think that tournament's going to be fun because would you be surprised if Michigan State just won it all? I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't at all. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan had a weird win in there, if Wisconsin all of a sudden found themselves again. I think there could be definitely some potential for upsets in the Big Ten tourney.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it because we did our pod on Sunday, and I kind of just threw it away saying that nothing's going to change in the AP polls. But I was wrong. On Monday, UConn got moved up to number 2. Purdue went to 3. They both won. UConn, obviously, in a more convincing fashion. Did you agree with that?
I do agree with that because you look at the end of the day, the teams that UConn has to play, regardless if they're ranked or not, it's a better competition than when Purdue has to play.
I think for the most part, and I don't always remember this being the case, so correct me if I'm wrong or off base here. I don't ever really remember style points being a thing with rankings in college basketball. Football for sure, but not college hoops.
Yeah, I never recall a time that if you know, you won and another team won, you got jumped. Unless you beat a bad team and they beat a ranked team, I can understand that. But I think it all goes to show you that they think that UConn deserves that too because they're the better team.
That's where the rankings really do come into play, because Purdue's had a better overall resume than UConn has, but UConn's wins and the absolute level of dominance that they've shown in several of their wins this year has topped that of Purdue.
They definitely have to have more quad one wins than Purdue has. And it's, you know, nothing.
More, actually, weirdly enough.
Weird. But it's no shame for Purdue. You're still going to be a one seed at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's the top three, and then we're going to see, is it really between, at this point, probably Tennessee and Arizona, right?
Probably Tennessee and Arizona. It depends on what goes on in the SEC.
Right. Tennessee clinched the SEC regular season crown. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, ranked number 7, they just steamrolled Notre Dame, 84-51. Bro, what has happened to Notre Dame? They are a shell.
They're just not getting their recruits anymore. Mike Bray left, and that program just fell apart. North Carolina just went in there. That game was over at halftime. It really was. And, you know, RJ Davis, again, 22 points. The guy's unbelievable. He's the leader of that team. Him and Baycott. That team's going to be scary in the tournament as well. You know, there's a lot of – it's more top-heavy this year than past years, but I could see them making a run in the Final Four as well.
ACC has kind of almost felt like a wasteland for once great teams, doesn't it? Syracuse.
Louisville
for sure. They're probably the most. I would probably put Pitt in there from where
Notre Dame. Yeah. I mean, ACC used to be very good up there with the Big 12 and the Big East, and now you have two ranked teams.
Most of those teams were great when they switched from the Big East to the ACC, but once they were solidified in the ACC, that's when everything fell apart for these programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So moving on to the SEC. Number 13, Auburn, they kill Missouri. This was a game where I was saying, hey, can Missouri maybe keep it close? And they couldn't.
That's why they don't have an SEC win. It's bad. So the thing with Auburn, though, what makes or breaks them come tournament time is the free ball. They shoot a lot of threes. And if they're not making them, I can't see them beating many of these high-quality teams.
As physical of a team as Bruce Pearl likes to have, goddamn, do they shoot a lot.
Yeah. I mean, that's really been Bruce Pearl's motto since he's been there. They've always been a three-point shooting team. You have the open shot, you take it. They're not the extra pass kind of team.
When you saw it with Jabari Smith, most people were wondering, is he really a top three pick, because his stats weren't really there, but that's because his guards took every single shot they could find. And also, you got a guy like Broom, who's really a stud down low and can get his shot. He's creative in the post. But he doesn't get a lot of opportunities. Again, I feel like he's getting a lot of offensive rebounds if he's scoring.
Yeah, that's what the big guys do. I was about to say Purdue, but at Auburn, it's their rebound monsters, and that's where they get their points, and that's why they have high field goal percentages, because they're just putting up putbacks.
Exactly right. Let's talk about your Jayhawks, Will. They kill Kansas State in Allen Fog. They were rocking the red unis on senior night. Everything came up roses, and you called this exactly how it went.
We just took that K-State team behind the woodshed. I hate K-State. But, yeah, another double-double for Hunter Dickinson. And, hey, our guy Nick Timberlake finally shows up on the last regular season home game. Oh, man, what a time for Timberlake. I think he was 4-for-4 from three. I think he finished with, like, 17 points or 19 points, something like that. It was a good game for him. Could that be the X factor going into the tournament? Because we've talked all year about Kansas missing that third scorer. It was Johnny Furphy for a while, but he's been struggling. You know, you had Nick Timberlake in here, and he's shooting under 30% from three, and that's not what's expected out of him. So maybe this unlocks something. We got to see going forward.
All will be forgiven if he has a great run in the Big 12 tournament and then propels them in the NCAA.
Absolutely.
For sure. But, yeah, good way to close out the season, obviously, at home there. Florida beats Alabama. This was an upset to me, especially after Florida lost to South Carolina last weekend. But Florida absolutely kicked the shit out of number 16 Alabama in Tuscaloosa. They beat them by 18, Will. This really did surprise me.
Yeah, what I wrote in my notes was Florida with a shocking beatdown of Alabama. And I thought Alabama, this was going to be a bounce-back game for Alabama after they just lost. And Alabama's lost two in a row. So it was a great game for Florida.
Richard and Clayton play so well together at the guard position, having 20 plus points. It was an athletic Alabama team that I couldn't keep up. But also, when you shoot 5 for 23 from three, you're not going to beat anybody.
Their game to close out the season tomorrow against Arkansas, is that a must win for them?
Absolutely. Has to be a must win. But I think, and we'll probably talk about it later, but I think they win by double digits easily. Arkansas is not good.
No, they're not. Even though they did hang with Kentucky for as much as they could.
Everybody hangs with Kentucky for as long as they can.
Yeah, fair point. Will, I'm going to give you the floor here. A game you called. I know you said it on the pod last night. I don't care. I want to give you your flowers again. UNLV knocks off number 21 San Diego State 62-58. UNLV money line, right, baby?
UNLV money line. I've been killing it with betting on the Mountain West games this year. They get it done on the road. They hit eight threes in the win. And what I say, Mountain West on the road, not easy.
Never is, and I feel like every single time I expect the team that's supposed to win, they never do. That's been like 3 weeks of us doing this pod. I feel like every single time I've been vindicated.
Yeah, minus like the Air Force, Fresno State, and San Jose State, any of those other teams, you would not be surprised to beat a Utah State at home or San Diego State at home. So that's how that conference goes.
San Jose State got dog walked the other night. Houston, they keep their number one ranking alive. They beat Central Florida by 8. You know, style points, not really, but again, Shed. He had a great game in this one. And of course, I mean, Cryer, probably the Big 12 player of the year.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what I basically put in my notes. I'm like, did he lock up Big 12 player of the year with this performance? You know, it's a tough UCF team. They're very gritty. They play tough basketball. They keep games close when you don't think they're going to keep games close. And Houston had Houston's defense made stops when it mattered.
Heavyweight fight in the Big East. My Huskies knock off Marquette 74-67. There are a lot of storylines in this game that I want to talk about, but what were the notes that you took from this game?
Yeah, I'll just talk a little bit and then I'll let you have the floor. I just put it very impressive win on the road. Shooting 50% from three, Caravan having a day. Klingon and Castle didn't play that well, and you still beat a very good Marquette team. You know, Cam Jones can't do it all. He's a very good player, but without Kolick, if they have Kolick healthy going into the tournament, they're definitely a Final Four team, if not in the national championship.
I find it kind of funny that you mentioned Kolick there. Iguodaro, by the way, had a very impactful game, but foul trouble got to him a little bit, and he had to miss some very impactful and important moments in that game. But I heard a lot of people noisy about how Kolick didn't play in this game. And it's very funny to me how short people's memories are, Will, because Tyler Kolick did play in the game in Hartford 3 weeks ago.
Yep, and you dog walk Marquette. Yeah.
So I don't think it was that big of a deal. I mean, shit.
I don't think it's a big deal either, but obviously it's a headline per se, you know, being one of their best players. I'm not saying they win the game with him, but I just thought it was impressive what they did without him.
I agree with you, particularly because UConn was taking them to the woodshed, to use your term. I thought that UConn was going to run away with it, and this is where Dan Hurley really is just a mastermind at what he's doing right now, and all other upcoming coaches should take notes if you're not taking notes of self and guys of that ilk. Cam Spencer is draining threes, and he takes a 4-3, kills it. Marquette calls a timeout, and he gets a technical for chirping at their bench and the crowd. And Hurley in the huddle is just letting him have it. He's like, this is about us. This isn't about their fucking bench and the crowd. And after the game, I thought his post-game comments rang even more strong, Will, because he said, that's a championship-level program. We have a lot of respect for what Shaka Smart has built there. We have a lot of respect for the fans and for that team. And that there's certain programs I don't mind him shit-talking, but that is not the one to do it for. What were your takeaways from those quotes in case you didn't see him the first time?
I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Hurley, you know, knowing who he's playing. You're not playing a Georgetown. You know, you're playing a Marquette team that's very good. They're in the top 10. He just a class act out of him. And, you know, I don't know what he was thinking, chirping the bench. You know, it's not like you don't even do that when you're up 30. Why would you do it in a close game?
When he made the shot, it wasn't close. I think he made the lead like 14 or 15, and there was like 7 minutes left. But to your overall point, I agree. And I also think that that's Hurley knowing his player. You know, he's not going to lose Cam Spencer. Cam Spencer did miss a couple wide open threes after that technical, and Hurley said in his post game that that was kind of karma for him. And if this was a younger player, if this was a top recruit who's a one and done, he might have lost the player. He's not going to lose Cam Spencer. But I'm glad that he got it in his head and saying, no matter how much you're feeling it, no matter how ready you are to go possibly on a national championship run, this is not about you and your interaction with the fans. This is about the team. And you caught and you heard us there. Because after that, Will, Marquette went on a serious run where the game, I don't think it was ever in jeopardy, but it got really close.
I mean, it's just momentum. That's what college basketball is about.
The three-point shooting for UConn, those are games. I mean, Newton was electric from the jump. Obviously, Spencer and Caravan. And Castle had a couple big-time takes. Diarra, the depth of the guards and the size of the guards, I think, is going to be what takes UConn as far as they can, because they might have a game where either Klingon or both Klingon and Johnson get in foul trouble, and they're going to have to play small.
Yeah, and you have the guards to do that.
What are your thoughts on Marquette?
I think Marquette's very good, even though with the loss, that's another loss to UConn. I mean, to be honest, though, you lost to the number one team in the nation and then the number two team in the nation. It's not like – and the second game was close. You didn't have one of your better players. I know that's a headline, but he played, what was it, 2 weeks ago, and they lost by 30. So does that really matter? I mean, the game was at home, so it's a little different. But going forward, Big East tournament-wise, obviously they're going to be the two. If they're fully healthy, they can definitely make a run deep in March. They're a team that's – if they're shooting the ball well, they're going to win games. That's basically it.
I agree with you. Transitioning back into the SEC, number four Tennessee, as I mentioned before, they clinched the SEC title with a win against 17th South Carolina. They beat them by seven. What takeaways did you have from this one, Will?
I mean, obviously, you say, yeah, Tennessee locking up the number one in the SEC. Dalton leads the Vols again, but they didn't shoot well. But the thing is, though, they also just beat a ranked team on the road, and they shot under 40% from the field. They're a very scary team. That's the one thing, though. Can you beat a UConn? Can you beat a UNC? Can you beat a Marquette by shooting under 40%? I don't think so. Not to take anything away from South Carolina. South Carolina's had an amazing year. But also, Michi Johnson needs another big-time player. You know, all these schools you see have at least two to three scorers on the team, and I don't think South Carolina has somebody else like a Michi Johnson on their team.
I agree with you, and that was pretty evident, right? Tennessee had guys, even when Kinect wasn't getting his, to kind of distribute the points a little bit, and Michi Johnson doesn't have that luxury.
For sure.
Back into the Big 12, Iowa State, they knock off number 20 BYU, 68-63, in a game that BYU easily could have and, dare I say, should have won.
I totally agree with you, but it was a tale of two halves for Iowa State. And in the first half, Iowa State was playing BYU basketball. BYU is not a normal, obviously new to the Big 12, normal Big 12 team that likes to run and gun. They're more of a Big 10 possession team, hit the open shot. But come the second half, Iowa State made the play of their brand of basketball, and BYU can't do that. And they had a big second half and pulled away.
Did, and that was a huge game. They're at home. Listen, they're an excellent team anyway. Their season's not going to be dictated if they lost a game at home against another top 25 ranked team and conference opponent. But I thought that was a big time gutty win when they didn't play their best basketball.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Kentucky, they kill Vanderbilt. Not much to say here unless you have any thoughts.
The only thing I wrote is they beat a bad Vanderbilt team and they still gave up 77 points to an 8-win team.
It's so amazing. I didn't even think about that because of the difference in point totals. But, yeah, 77 to Vandy is wild. Yeah. Okay. Last two for us here, man. Number five, Arizona. They have no issues with UCLA. They beat them by 19 – or by 23, rather. I'm not good at math. And then Washington with the upset big time last night against in-state rival Washington State, who was ranked 18th. They might fall out of the top 25, losing 74-68. I didn't see this one coming.
My Cougars are making me look bad. They're making me look bad, Sean. They just
very possessive of your Cougs.
Yeah, they just played poorly. They just shot the ball terribly. And Washington said, "Hey, you know what? You're going to shoot like that. We're going to make you earn it." And they didn't earn it. And Washington came away with a big win.
Did, and Listen, I still don't feel that different about Washington State. Those weird rivalry games, in-state rivalry games, the Apple Cup for the last time, really, in basketball. So it's not a good loss. You don't want to lose to a bad Washington team. But those things do happen.
I mean, Kansas has lost to Kansas State before it happens.
Right. You hope it doesn't, but at least you can explain that one away a little bit. Ready to preview the weekend?
Absolutely.
All right, man. Let's start tonight in the Mountain West, where Boise State travels to number 21 San Diego State. Does Boise have a win in them?
No, absolutely not. This is one of my bets on the podcast earlier. I think 7.5 is not enough. I think this is a double-digit point spread, and San Diego State coming off a loss, I think they just run the score up on them.
All right. There you go, Aztecs. Arkansas at Alabama. I asked you before if it was a must-win for Alabama. You said yes. Do they do it?
I think they definitely win, and I also think it might be a little closer than people think. Alabama should definitely blow them out at home, but I don't know. Arkansas, just Alabama hasn't been playing well lately. They might keep it close, but I think Alabama gets the job done.
This isn't a time of year where you want to be going on a slide. Alabama does need this one heading into the SEC tourney. Number 6, Iowa State at Kansas State. You expect a blowout here?
I would love to say blowout because I'm not a big K-State fan, as you know. But also, I think Manhattan's a tough place to play, just as Ames is. But I think Kansas State keeps it close for the first half. And then just the same thing, like the BYU game the other night, Iowa State just takes control in the second half.
Stay in the Big 12. Your Jayhawks at number 1 Houston, Will. Will you get the upset of the year heading into the Big 12 tournament?
Absolutely not.
I did
take them
up for it.
I would love to, just it's not the Kansas team that I'm used to. You know, makes me feel terrible about myself saying that because I'm used to a top 5 team. I'm used to winning national championships. And to see that 14 next to our name is weird for me. But, yeah, I think Kansas keeps it close. I think it comes down to the fouling game, though. I think Kansas plays one of their better games of the year. But Houston's too much for them, and they win by about 5.
I know it was at home, but earlier this year, Kansas did knock off Houston.
I think that Houston team compared to this Houston team has matured. And also, I think Kevin McCullough is still banged up a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes some minutes off in this game because, you know, seeding's basically set in the Big 12. So it would be nice to beat the number 1 team on the road. But if anybody can do it, Bill Self can do it.
I agree with you. I wouldn't pick it, but I am hoping – selfishly for a close game late, at least to see if Kansas has a shot to do it. Last game in the Big 12, number 11 Baylor travels to Lubbock at Texas Tech. Any chance for an upset here on senior day in Lubbock, or is Baylor going to go in and roll them?
Baylor's going to go in and roll them.
Yeah. Baylor's too good, man. They really
they're
are.
Just too, they're more athletic than most of the teams in the country, let alone the Big 12. And it just shows on the court. It's like two different teams, two different level of teams playing against each other.
I agree with you. When I watch Baylor, I think that they are just more athletically advanced than most other teams they play. Are they the best basketball team every night? No. But there's not many teams I would take from an athlete standpoint over them.
And they play very well as a team together.
They do. 100% they do. Let's switch over to the Big East. Number 10, Creighton at Villanova. Villanova had a bad loss to Providence this week. And I don't think they're making the tournament. That's not a team that's had a great season. But if they want any chance, this would be a great win to get. Could they upset Creighton?
Mark it down, Shawnee. Me and Tom talked about it. Villanova money line. You're gonna get the bad Creighton on Saturday, and Villanova's going to beat them.
Okay. I would love that. That would be a little bit of chaos in the Big East to end the regular season. Marquette at Xavier. Xavier's been playing a little bit better, but they're still not very good. Marquette off that tough loss to UConn. Kolick will not play in this game.
I think even without Kolick, I think they get the job done against Xavier. I think they win by double digits and get back on track.
Speaking of the Providence Friars, they're hosting number 2 UConn.
God, it's like, is that a game on Comedy Central or?
It's the primetime Fox game. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, I just don't see any chance. It's not the Providence teams of old where you play at the dunk and it's, you know, the crowd's rowdy and, you know, Ed Cooley's getting the boys pumped, but he's not there anymore. And neither are those recruits.
Oh, Kim English has had a good season, though. I'll give him credit for that. But I think he's a one and done there at Providence. Mm-hmm. They're going to be searching for another coach. Back into the SEC, we got number 15 Kentucky at number 4 Tennessee. Woo, baby, what a matchup.
This is probably one of the games of the weekend, you know, along with Kansas and Houston, and another one we'll talk about later. But Tennessee has things locked up. I think Kentucky kind of needs this. They've had some great wins on, but to have a statement win over a team that just clinched the one seed would be huge. I think they're 8.5 point favorites or 9.5 point favorites. I think it's going to be a close game. And you're going to expect, you know, this game to be high scoring, but I don't think Kentucky is going to put up that 100 points on a Tennessee defense.
I also want to see what those young players for Kentucky are like in a really wild atmosphere on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially against the team that did solidify the number one seeding in that conference. I think Calipari is going to have those kids ready to go pregame, but will they make adjustments in game? That's always the question. Right?
When I look at this game, I just see Kentucky getting off to a slow start, you know, with the young team having some bad shots. And before you know it, would you be surprised that Tennessee's up like 16-4?
No, and I also then wouldn't be surprised if Reed Sheppard and Dillingham caught fire either.
Yes, for sure.
Right. So I'm hoping for a good matchup there. Staying in the SEC, number 17, South Carolina and Mississippi State, get up off the mat and win this one, right?
Bounce back game.
Yep, 100%. Georgia at number 13, Auburn. I think Auburn's playing great right now. They should win this one handily.
I agree with that. Yeah, you know, they're gonna roll Georgia.
Obviously the game that everybody's looking the most forward to from a national level. And this game really matters in the ACC, but also it's just cranked up a notch for the way that the season's gone. Number 9, Duke at – or I'm sorry, number 7, North Carolina at number 9, Duke. North Carolina won earlier this year in Chapel Hill.
This is another one for me. Duke, -4.5 at home. The Cameron Indoor Crazies are going to be loud. I took Duke winning by 5. I think they get the job done at home.
I agree with you 100%. This has the feel of Duke getting that revenge win and then setting up a potential great matchup in the ACC tournament.
Absolutely.
That would be really fun. Out west, Arizona at USC. Arizona should win this game, but USC sneakily has been playing a little bit better.
They definitely have been playing a little bit better, but this is, as I want to use my one of my favorite lines, you just can't play with your feud on this one. Just go in there and get the job done.
They should. I mean, they're the better team. They should. But I will tell you this, if when we're recording Sunday night, I would not be surprised if we're on the pod and we're talking about USC winning this game.
I could see it.
I easily could see it. Final two of the weekend, brother. Wisconsin at number 3, Purdue, and number 12, Illinois, Iowa. Take those any direction you want.
So the Wisconsin at Purdue game, you got to look at it. And, you know, I've talked so much trash about Wisconsin this year, being in the top 25 with no big wins outside of Marquette in the beginning, the third game of the season. But this is a game, I'm not going to say Wisconsin's going to win this game, but this is going to be a 1-2 possession game at the end of the game.
I would feel that way if it was in Wisconsin. I think Purdue at home is going to pull away late.
I could see that too, but it just, you know, Wisconsin always does this to me. You know, I'll bet on them against Rutgers and they're -9 and they lose. And then I'll bet on Purdue against them at home -10 and, you know, it's a 4-point game, and I'm like, what do I got to do? What do I got to do, Wisconsin?
Yeah, Wisconsin is definitely one of those programs that you, no matter what year it is or what their record is, you just can't get a feel for them.
And then Illinois, Iowa, I think Illinois bounces back after the loss to Purdue, and they get things going again.
Good. Iowa's not good. Okay, Will, I got one last segment here to finish up for before we get into the weekend. Because it is the final weekend of the regular season, I got to get your thoughts on some awards. And the easiest way to go here is just predict the National Coach of the Year, the National Player of the Year, and then the players of the year in each of the major conferences. So let's run down the gauntlet. Who do you have for National Coach of the Year? If you were
this one's tough, and it, you know, obviously they're two of the best teams in the country. You can't explain what Hurley's done with UConn and making them the dominant program they were years ago. Back now they're the same program again. But also my pick is Kelvin Sampson. You know, first year in the Big 12, the best the Big 12 has been in years, and he's run the gauntlet there. He stayed at number one. He's beaten tough teams. He's played more ranked games than almost anybody. He's got to be my coach of the year if Houston gets the job done and wins the Big 12.
So there's a lot of reasons that I don't want to be a homer.
I get it.
Hopefully for you making fun of me, obviously, that's number one. But I got to go with Hurley for this reason. They were a 3 seed last year. They won the national championship. He lost 3 players from that starting lineup last year. Yeah, yes, he did bring in a McDonald's All-American freshman and Stephen Castle, but Castle missed time this year. Donovan Klingon came back, obviously, but he missed some time this year and battled through injuries. You bring in a Cam Spencer. You have Caravan, who has taken another leap this year. And I think having the Stewarts and the Solomon Balls and the Samson Johnsons, in addition to retaining Hassan Diarra, who he easily could have lost, I think just with the players that have missed times this year, oh, and by the way, you have Tristan Newton, who's taken his game to a brand new level. I think just with the players he lost and then taking a national championship team and making it even better, getting a 1 seed this year, I think he has to win. I totally hear what you're saying about Samson going to the Big 12, conquering it, and becoming the number one team in the country. But he didn't lose 3 starters from a national championship team.
That's correct. I couldn't disagree with you. I think that's one of those votes that's like 49-47 in favor of one of them.
Yeah, no, it's a great conversation to have. Like I said, I'll come off as the homer, but I think it's a great conversation to have. I would not be up in arms if Samson won, because I would
understand. And obviously, you know, I have no skin in the game, but I wouldn't be mad if Hurley won too. He's done an amazing job at UConn this year.
Yes. Who's your national player of the year?
So the favorite is obviously Edie, you know, but like it would be cool to see somebody else win it. But he's like minus 2000 to win it all, to win the national player of the year, which is crazy. But I would like to see a guy like RJ Davis averaging 21.3 points a game. He's leading that North Carolina team. They're the tops of the ACC. It would be nice to see him win it, but I think at the end of the day, I think Edie's going to take it.
I agree with you more. It's Edie, and it's really not going to be close.
Mm-hmm.
But for the ACC player of the year, that's RJ Davis, right?
That's RJ Davis. There's no argument there.
Look at what he's done for that program, man. Like I said on a pod either last week or the week before, I watched them play UConn at Madison Square Garden, and I thought that they were talented, but I didn't think they were all that good. And then RJ Davis really came alive to begin conference play, and he's been a man possessed since.
I mean, he's been averaging close to 25 points, you know, in ACC play.
He's an absolute stud. And there's no question about it. The Big Ten player of the year is also going to be the national player of the year.
So yep, exactly.
Nice and easy. Going into the Big 12, Will, your conference, you alluded to it earlier. It's Cryer, right?
It's Cryer, but also I wouldn't be surprised if Hunter Dickinson gets some votes because he is averaging a double-double for Kansas team. But I think LJ Cryer is going to take the Big 12 player of the year.
This is one that's very interesting to me to get your thoughts, because it's not your conference, but you are very, you know, keyed into this conference because of all the conversations we've had. The Big East player of the year for 23-24 is?
Tristan Newton.
Boom.
He leads UConn in every category. And look how good UConn is. And to lead that team with all the players they have in every category, that's impressive.
He's also a Cousy Award finalist.
Yeah. So I think Tristan Newton wins Big East player of the year.
I agree with you. Again, didn't want to come off as a homer, but I don't know who else you could pick. You know?
I mean, with that, you know, injuries or – maybe what's his name on Creighton, who's averaging 22 points a game. Is it Cryer? No, Cryer. Shireman, that's it. I mean, would he be in the conversation? But I think it's Tristan Newton unanimously.
You too. It should be anyway. He seems like a guy who gets the short end of the stick for pretty much everybody. He wants to talk about Steph Castle and Caravan and Spencer. But Newton is just the most steady player, man. And when you need a shot or you need a big-time play, he's going to deliver it for you.
Absolutely.
And Klingon, I thought, could have been it, but he missed too much time. And he's had some games where he hasn't been dominant.
I agree.
SEC player of the year is Dalton Knecht.
Yep, I agree with that one.
And who's your Pac-12 player of the year?
So the Pac-12 is very interesting because there's two players that stick out in my mind. And one is ex-North Carolina player Kayla Love, who's averaging 19.5 points a game. But also there's that dark horse from Washington State, Mike Hoogs, Isaac Jones, averaging 15 and almost eight and shooting close to 60% from the field. And I think that's the only reason that Washington State, or one of the main reasons Washington State was ranked.
Who would you go with?
I'm going to stick with my Cougs and I'm going Isaac Jones.
I love it. I'm going Caleb Love. I think that's the answer.
I think that's probably the answer, but I'm not turning them back on the Cougars, even though they turned their back on me last week.
You really did, and you're still rewarding them. They should be forever indebted to you.
Yep. Just hang a banner. Hang a banner for me.
That's it. You will be peacocking all over the place if they win the Pac-12 championship.
Oh, man, can't wait. I'll buy a T-shirt. I will
buy a T-shirt. You will, and Tom will call you a fraud, and we'll be back to square one.
We're not used to that, right, Tom? Right, Tron? We don't get called frauds all the time by Tom.
Oh, no. The sports fans are never likes to have his input for how we root for our teams. That's never.
Yeah, no, it's got to be, if you didn't go to that school, you can't be a fan, you know?
He just accepts us. Yeah, that's him, all right.
Yeah, sounds like it.
We did it. Everybody enjoy the last weekend of College Hoops, and we'll be back Sunday night to recap all these games, and we'll have brackets for the conference tournaments, baby. It's about to turn up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. All right, everybody. Appreciate it.
See you guys.